Back in 2016, way before the Harvey Weinstein allegations ignited a movement, one woman looked around her in frustration. American-Israeli writer, playwright, and director Sigal Avin felt bombarded by news in Israel and all over the world of powerful men abusing women.
For me as a woman, it was like, how can this be that women are saying all these things and nothing's happening? And not only is nothing happening, these men are getting promoted and elected and rewarded.
Sigal Avin wanted to translate her frustration into action, so she made a series of short films depicting real-life harassment scenarios to show people what it actually looks like.
We always hear about sexual harassment and read about sexual harassment, but we never get to see it.
Avin's films made a splash in Israel, so she went on to create American versions, teaming up with actor, director, and producer David Schwimmer. Last spring, the two produced 6 short films about harassment, all based on true stories. And now those films are getting a new life as public service announcements here in America released nationwide, a campaign called That's Harassment. David Schwimmer executive produced the films and acted in one of them, and I asked him why he got involved in this project.
Growing up, I heard countless stories of my mother as a young attorney experiencing several incidents of sexual harassment and sexism. Then my sister, as she entered the workforce, and countless friends and family and colleagues, former girlfriends, pretty much every woman I know has had an experience of sexual harassment. It was kind of a no-brainer, really. I was like, let's do this.
Sigal, you got started on this project in Israel. These films have real-life scenarios. One depicts a couple of bartenders behind a bar in a casual conversation at first about work that is clearly sexual harassment.
Because, you know, guys, they'll be getting drunk, and they think they can have whatever they want. You know, the whole grab by the thing, and then it's like out of nowhere, they're like, boom, right there.
Sigal, can you talk a little bit about the process that went into choosing the subjects for these videos? You have to hire great actors, of course, but they really reflect a lot of the subtleties of everyday life where people might skirt through and convince themselves even that harassment isn't going on.
One of my goals was to try to capture that moment, the energy changes in the room. It's almost a moment, it's hard to describe in words, and it's hard to, I think, for anybody except whoever's been through it, even to explain. It's a certain feeling that suddenly something changes in the room. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes you ask yourself afterwards if that really happened. Was that in my mind? And so for that, for instance, it was very important for me that in all the films, the men are not monsters. They seem very nice and polite and funny and people you look up to. I mean, in all the film, David is this wonderful, compelling boss, and the actor is like her friend, which is really heartbreaking when he exposes himself. But I think the subtlety was part of the tools of enlightening the gray area.
Right. I think the films show both those subtle moments, the gray area, such as Cynthia Nixon in the doctor's office, where she came in for one thing, a problem with her sinuses, a sinus headache, and before she knows it, she's having her breasts examined, which she didn't ask for.
Have you had a mammogram lately?
Not in a while.
You should. You have a lovely chest. It'd be a shame not to have it checked.
When you walk into a doctor's office, you are in a position immediately where you're vulnerable, you're placing your trust in someone who has more experience and knowledge.
Do you ever check yourself?
No,
I don't. Should. Really. Here, I can show you. Put this, it's easy, put your head right in, there you go, turn your head this way, there you go, and you just feel around and circle that.
That subtle dynamic, each of these is an illustration of a power dynamic in which there is a single moment where everything changes in the room. And some are more obvious and overt, and some are more subtle.
David, talk about the importance of men talking to other men about this and hearing from other men.
There's a lot of fear of men speaking out or participating because some people are quick to condemn any man who has the slightest misstep in their opinion or their thought process or their feelings. So the result is everyone's shutting down and shutting up, and that's not going to move the ball forward. You know, we have to create dialogue. So first of all, we have to stop immediately condemning men who are trying to, you know, voice their thoughts, concerns, participate in the conversation. Obviously, men have a lot to learn, and we want to illuminate those and clarify any questions that men have. But you have to invite those questions at the same time. The other thing is, I've been an advocate for 20 years in the area of child and adult victim of sexual assault and sexual violence. And the bottom line is, men commit the vast majority of rapes, sexual assault, and sexual harassment. Okay? So I believe that men therefore have a special responsibility to do something about it. And if you're not actually doing something about it and participating in the conversation in an active way, you're actually part of the problem.
Do you have confidence now that this is a change in culture that's going to stick in American society, in your own industry for that matter?
Do I think things will really change? I do, but I think it's going to take probably another generation or two, because I think the answer is really hiring more women in all levels of all positions of power and in our government and our representatives. I mean, it's shameful how few women there are that actually represent the country.
Seagal?
And, of course, equal payment for men and women. I think a law just came out in Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken, that they must pay men and women the same amount for the same job. So that would be nice if that would happen. Our children who look up and see women fighting and owning their thing is what will make a better generation. And I think we're at a point where women finally really believe that we are equal. I mean, not just fighting and saying we want to be equal. I think we finally really realize we are equal. And until this power dynamic gets even between men and women, I think that's what this movement is about. And I think that's the revolution. And it's incredible. It's pretty amazing. It's a wonderful time to be a woman.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to take my 6.5-year-old daughter to the Women's March, just for her to understand and see the kind of empowerment and the, you know, that women are demanding to be seen and heard in a way that, say, when my mom went on the Women's March, you know, she's carrying the sign of, like, I can't believe I'm still doing this after 50 years, you know. You know, at least for my daughter to kind of pick up the torch or know that it's going to be her responsibility as well to keep the ball moving. I think it's important.
Actor, director, and producer David Schwimmer, and writer and director Seagal Avin, both behind the That's Harassment project. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And you can find lots of resources around the That's Harassment campaign, including a toolkit on how to prevent harassment in the workplace. It's all on our website at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.